Infendo Radio is on now.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 332. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and joining me tonight we have Lewis Pugh.
Hello.
And Colin Crompton.
Hello everybody.
So tonight we are going to have a two-part structure for you. We're going to start out with what we've been playing, and that will include Bayonetta 1, Bayonetta 2, and a special surprise for you that I won't reveal just yet. Our second feature for you today will be our feature, listener questions. We have quite a few listener questions and comments, so I'm really looking forward to discussing those. So jumping into what we've been playing, I think we'll start with Lewis. My notes actually are in a different order from this, but we'll start with Lewis, who has
just
played and beaten Bayonetta number one.
Yeah, I have. I beat it today, so I'm. Although it was, I don't know, probably about at least 5-6 hours ago, I'm still on the adrenaline high that only a platinum games can deliver on an ultimate climax.
Yep.
I mean, I had played a very brief part of Bayonetta originally on the PlayStation 3. It couldn't have been any more than half an hour. And at the time, I liked the style of it. But I was also a bit confused by it. I didn't quite get it at the time.
Well, the half an hour that you did play, was that like the beginning of the game? Or was it like somewhere in the middle?
It was right at the beginning, I think.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what it was about it, but it didn't quite click with me.
It just blew your mind too much.
Honestly, I think at the time I thought it was too weird. Like it was trying too hard to just be weird. I'm not sure I get this. Anyway, I didn't really carry on with it much further. However, kind of just listening to the development of Bayonetta 2, it has piqued my interest. I mean, watching more about it, you know, finding out more about it. And so upon purchasing Bayonetta 2 and getting the first game with it, I decided to start with the first game and play it all the way through before I start the second. And that seemed to go down really well because obviously the game arrived last week, it would have been here. And I've now completed it, which took me about 15 hours or so. And I had a great time with this game. It was absolutely amazing. It has exceeded my expectations I had for it. And has possibly dethroned Wonderful 101 as well, in my opinion. Despite, obviously, that being a newer game, technically. But yeah, I've been very impressed with Bayonetta. I've been impressed with, obviously, the action itself. The set pieces are just mind-blowing. And also just by the actual... Something which took me by surprise, the character development within the game.
Oh, interesting.
Exactly, it is a thing. I don't want to spoil too much, but the characters...
Well, I know Bayonetta, like in the first game, she has amnesia to begin with, right?
She does, yeah, that's like the old cliches.
Yeah.
But some of them do pay off, and I think it's got actually a pretty good story. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm just really impressed with the game, and I think... The best way to describe it, if you have played Wonderful 101, but you've not played the Bayonetta series, the high points of Wonderful 101 is mostly in line with what Bayonetta is. It doesn't really have much of the, either the lower points or the more puzzly bits, or there's a little bit of that in Bayonetta, but it's mostly action sequence after action sequence, and because of that, it's kind of got a more robust, more involved action system, and, it's a lot more streamlined as well in terms of like how you use items and those kind of side bits, how you can customize or set up your weapons. And so there's a lot of fun that can be had just playing around with that stuff. But yeah, it's again like Wonderful 101, it's just kind of like this mad roller coaster ride. And it's highly recommended from me. I'm very eager to play the second game now.
That's good. Question for you.
Okay.
On Bayonetta, what was your favorite Nintendo costume? I mean, you tried them out, right?
I haven't yet.
You didn't?
I kind of tried them on the demo. The press event we went to. We tried some of those. I saw them on the screen. You can play around with them on.
So you don't have to beat the game to unlock them or anything.
No, they kind of start already there. I just kind of wanted to play the game without the costumes. Because I felt I will go back to it, because it's that sort of game where you can like just replay missions to get better scores, which it really heavily promotes. Every single kind of phase of the game you go for, it lets you know basically how bad you did. and so you've got that room for improvement there. And because it's a fun game, I imagine I will go back to it at some points and try and improve my score. I mean, it shouldn't be too hard, really. I mean, once you've done the game, going back and doing the beginning parts of the game, you should get a nice bigger bonus score than you did the first time around, just because of what you've learnt.
Yeah.
So I feel that's the time I'll be trying out those different costumes. I'm not sure what it'll be yet. Maybe the Peach, maybe Samus. I don't know. But yeah, it's cool that they're in there.
So you just have all of them unlocked from the beginning and you can choose
from any of them? In one of them, like, pause menu type things.
Okay. So, well, I was going to... for a minute, I was going to ask, like, what are you going to start with? But you're obviously pretty undecided, so maybe I'll just recommend something to start with. I'd start with Peach.
Honestly,
I just threw that out there, but that's my recommendation.
Yeah, you get the barrels of hands and feet for your special attacks as well.
but nothing else, and just the hands and feet.
Do the Halos become coins, any chance?
Yes, they do.
Well, there we go. And do they do a little ding when you collect them?
Yeah, I think so. I think they do.
That'd be good. See? Yeah.
So, Lewis, one last question for you.
Yeah, certainly.
Are you now, like, dying to jump into Bayonetta 2?
Oh, I am, especially after playing the demo.
So you haven't started Bayonetta 2 yet, officially?
Not officially, although I kind of did run it for, 10 minutes or so, some point between playing the first game, just because my curiosity got to me and I just wanted to see the difference between the two. But I've not played anything beyond, like, up to the first save point. So I'll probably start again anyway, having finished the first game now. But
I'd probably do the same.
This kind of series, as it was, has gone way up in my books now. I know it was critically acclaimed, but I thought it may have been just because it's one of those kind of niche titles. You know, it has its audience, it knows who it is, and it focuses towards them. But yeah, thoroughly impressed with this game. I'm so glad that Nintendo funded this and picked it up for the Wii.
the problem with Bayonetta is it's quite intimidating to start a game like this, because you look at someone else playing and you think, oh, there's so much going on. But once you realise how simple it is, the buttons, but the basic control scheme is very easy to follow, and you realise that you can do all these moves with relative ease. Yeah, the game's absolutely fantastic. So, what did you think of the story to the first Bayonetta?
See, I actually quite liked it. I mean, it takes a little while to get going.
Yeah.
But I was kind of surprised with, the amount of story it had, and I was kind of impressed with how they fleshed out the characters. I was assuming they were going to all be very one-dimensional, but yeah.
How can a character like Bayonetta be one-dimensional at all?
Well, to be fair, I mean, that's my initial impression. Just evil witch lady or something, evil sexy witch lady, but without any sort of, personality beyond that. But yeah, I like how the game did bring, additional character to it.
Well, I'm glad that that's not all there is to her, at least, so. But I think this is a good segue into Collins talking about Bayonetta 2.
Yeah, Bayonetta 2. okay, so, I covered most of the game. I did my review for the site, and I really enjoyed it, and the only thing I want to cover is I didn't really talk about the tag climax mode in the review.
Oh, yeah.
Mainly because I didn't have anyone else to play it with at the time.
So you can't just like play it with strangers; it has to be with a friend.
It has to be with a friend.
Huh.
I know if you can play it on your own with a CPU, AI controlled partner, which is okay. It's not recommended because.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's one of those things where it's a cooperative, but you're also fighting for score. So you're fighting hordes of enemies, and you've got to kill more of them than your partner.
Yeah, I think that'll lose a lot when you're doing it against a computer.
Yeah, well, because the AI on the computer is, like, really like vastly superior to what you can do, and they just decimate the entire screen. You're like, okay, I'm just standing here. I can't. Let me hit something, you know.
And you can't change the computer's level or anything.
No. That's the AI weird. has one set level, and it's one level is it will thrash you at this game. So it's like, okay. So no, I played it with my older brother, and he's not as that great at the game, but we managed to muddle our way through it. And it's a really interesting take on the multiplayer mode, because you go through six stages, six of these. You pick up throughout the single player game, you find these cards that you can collect, and each of these cards represents a battle in this mode. So it could be a boss battle, or it could be a battle against lots of little enemies, or you know, whatever. Or a mix of the two. And it's so you go through six of these, and at the end of the six battles it tallies up your scores, and it just tells you who won at the end, and whoever wins gets a huge bonus of halos, the currency. And it's a really cool way of getting money, because money in Bayonetta, as Lewis will know, is how you increase your abilities. You can buy new moves, new combos, new weapons, or you know, new costumes as well. And so this is a really good way of getting more halos. The trouble with it is, if you want to get the most amount, you have to gamble. It's got a Kid Icarus difficulty slider system. More you gamble, the more the harder the enemies. Yeah, don't gamble, because you will not win. Because we're like, oh, we'll gamble a little amount. And it's like, because you have, it's at preset levels, like gamble 4,000 or gamble 8,000. That's about as far as it goes. And so, yeah, you gamble these preset levels. So we just did the first preset level of 4,000 halos, and we got decimated in seconds. So it's like, wow, this is basically for the experts. And I'm sure there's going to be some crazy videos of people, you know, doing this thing like blindfolded or something. Yeah, so...
So the difficulty sounds a little messed up.
Well, Bayonetta is... I don't know, difficulty. Lewis has been playing on... I've been playing on normal for the second one.
Yeah, well...
And it is hard.
I was going to say, I was being playing through... Well, I played through normal, obviously, on the first game. Because... I mean, I'm not sure it's worded the same way on the second game. But what kind of influenced my decision is there's three difficulties. There's like very easy, easy, and normal.
Yeah.
But underneath both very easy and easy, it has in brackets automatic.
Yep.
And so I don't think I actually knew at the time when selecting my difficulty what exactly that was, but I assume now that's when you activate which time?
Automatic mode is automatic mode is just the game does the hardest, the more difficult combos for you, so you just push the attack buttons.
Oh, okay. And impressive things happen.
Yeah, all basically. Right. Which it's great for people who don't play a lot of action games and just want to go through the story. So Bayonetta's difficulty is always, because it's platinum, and their games are generally harder than usual games. And Bayonetta 2 lives up to that reputation quite well. Especially the last boss. Good luck on that one, Lewis.
Cheers.
But one thing I would say about the storyline of Bayonetta 2 is, I'm sure if you played the first one, you'll gain more of an appreciation for the ending, because it links back into the first one.
Oh, you did.
In a really cool way. It does some time travel stuff, but...
It's convoluted enough as it is. I don't want to have to be taking notes.
No, but it will blow your mind. Like, oh, so you were you're like, oh, so you're with this person the entire time, but you never knew it. And that. So yeah, basically, Bayonetta 2, a must-have Wii U game.
Oh, that's cool.
Which, I mean, one of the few games I can say that, you know, with complete sincerity, you must own this for the Wii U. My main detractors from the game are, yeah, I've managed this review, but the touchscreen controls, have you tried them out?
I never did. Well, not yet, at least.
Yeah, they're not fantastic. It's literally, you just sit there and watch Bayonetta, you know, the AI control her, and watch her defeat demons while you just sort of poke at the screen.
Kind of like Super Guide mode, then.
Essentially, yeah. she'll tapping. Dodge on her own.
Yeah.
And it's basically for like beginners.
Yeah, I got some questions though. Like, in comparison to the first game, so if there's like people out there who have played the first Bayonetta, like on the 360 or the PS3,
yep.
I'm guessing these people may not have a Wii U, but I'm thinking they may do if they're listening to this. But if they're in that position, I mean, how does the second game compare to the first? I mean, like, just on like some simple things like, I guess, the length of the game, the type of combat, like how you customize stuff. Is it all kind of like, it's like more of that, or do they change things up in any way?
Okay, so the core values of the game are pretty much the same. They've been refined. So the combat is a little bit more fluid, I think. The combos are a little bit easier to like pull off. The one thing I will say is, in 2, the pacing of the game is way better than the first.
Oh, okay.
Because the first one will have you plodding along at these little like puzzly, yeah, you got to break through doors.
And, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and things like that. They're not into. Ooh, the game okay. is just literally, it's a roller coaster ride from the start to the finish. There are still stages where you get to explore
yeah.
cities and things, which is nice, but mostly it's.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, fighting massive bosses and.
Yeah, I do like that because I've been comparing Bayonetta to Wonderful 101 and saying it's streamlined compared to that. I really love Wonderful 101. It's a fantastic game, but I was just saying Bayonetta feels kind of like that. But with, you know, taking out some of the bits I personally don't think worked quite as well. So it sounds yeah. like the second game is that on another level, which is really cool.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it is absolutely brilliant, because clearly they read everything about the first game, what they did wrong, and yeah, they just like, okay, for number 2, we're just going
to
make it.
That leads me to my next question then. If they've taken that approach, is the game shorter?
No.
Ooh, even better.
The campaign, I think I did it in like 8 or 9 hours.
Yeah.
But I didn't explore the levels fully. Mm. I'm mainly going just for the story. But so there's so much hidden stuff in the game, and I'm, you know, going back through the levels and finding, oh, there's little caves and little things you can go down, little paths you can go down. So yeah, there's definitely a lot to this game.
Okay.
And so it's
how about the music? Is it quite as catchy as the first one? Because I have found myself when I'm not playing the game singing some of the words in my head to songs which shouldn't necessarily be appropriate for that action scene.
No, yeah.
Some old like 60s number.
The 60s pop music
yep.
sort of thing. It's a little. The music is yeah. That's they still retain that.
No, that's good. No, I do like it.
Not,
the style.
It's not as used as much. It's more like the more epic, bombastic music
yeah.
that plays. Although there is a really weird. Okay, so in the first game, there's a cover they did of "Fly Me to the Moon."
Yes, they do. It's used many times.
Bizarre.
I do like the when you finish the game, they do a version of that with the full song, because before it's
that's right.
They use like these two lines of the song, and they repeat them over and over and over.
Yeah, and 2 there. Well, I found this. Okay, so Bayonetta 2, the credits sequence comes up, and they do a cover of Moon River.
What?
Yeah.
Man, that's going to be one to look forward to.
it's interesting. It's an interesting choice.
That will definitely get me through that last boss. Knowing that's my sweet reward.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, look forward to that. So yeah, but the storyline... The way it ends, you can sort of tell that they're trying to, leave the door open slightly.
I'm not sure that's a good or a bad thing. I mean, obviously I'd love to see one, but I don't want them to open a door and it never to be fulfilled.
That's true, but...
They're jinxing themselves.
Exactly, yeah. Well, it's maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It depends how you interpret the ending.
That's...
It's one of those, it's crazy, so, you know. But then again, the whole plot of Bayonetta is pretty crazy anyway, so... But yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, Bayonetta. You never know, we may end up playing online multiplayer on this. If we do, is it something you would recommend people do after they finish the second game? Or do it like in bursts throughout?
I'd definitely say...
have a normal run-through first.
Yeah, because you'll lock, you know, new weapons and new equipment.
That is true.
Because everything you do in the game carries over to Tag Climax.
Yeah.
So, which is nice.
Yeah, sounds good. And I'm looking forward to my play from More Than Ever now.
Yep. And any of our listeners who don't have either game yet, hopefully they're feeling like they really got to get into it too. I still won't be, though.
That's fair enough.
Everyone will kill me for saying that. But
well, I guess if there's people on the fence, going down the eShop route may not be a bad thing, and just buying one of the games. Because
right.
if you like it and buy the second, it's then you haven't spent any
discount.
More on the package.
That's right.
But it's a cheaper way in just to play one or the other.
So there you have it. I think we will abruptly make a change over here to what I have been playing. This is the super special surprise. Surprise title.
Lewis is smiling.
I guess, yep, I can practically see him beaming. I have been playing the Twisted Fusion beta. For our listeners who don't know, because I think we've actually gotten a lot of new listeners recently, Lewis is a game developer. Has created one or two games. I don't know. How many games have you created for
I've created,
mobile?
For mobile?
Yeah.
More than a handful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think that's a precise enough number.
Yeah, it's good enough for me. So Lewis has kind of made the jump to being a Wii U developer and is developing a Wii U game called Twisted Fusion. And since I paid enough money on the Kickstarter, I got to play the beta. I still get to play the beta, I guess. I can play it anytime I want. So I thought I'd talk a little bit about that. So Lewis's game here is... is Metroidvania how you would describe the style of it?
I think it might be, but I've been trying to avoid that term as best I can, and I think I even
it
said on the Kickstarter...
It's thrown around like crazy.
Yeah, I think I even said on the Kickstarter it's not, but the... it's a weird term, Metroidvania.
It's not, but it is.
Yeah, it definitely has elements from those games, but I think the games which call themselves Metroidvania, like, followed a really strict template. And, like, this game is going to have this and this and this and this and this. Whereas that's not necessarily what I'm trying to do with this game. It is an open platformer. There are going to be bits from those games, but it's not following the same template.
Yes, I do remember you... Or I do remember the Kickstarter describing it as an open world platformer.
That's
so.
Right, yeah.
So in the beta, there are 5 sunstones to find.
That's right.
And that's kind of it. There's a few enemies scattered about. That's another thing. You play as Korra, the main character of the game, and I believe in the full version of the game there will be multiple playable characters,
there
but
will
she wields like two water guns basically.
That's
and
right.
So there's some enemies to fight
and a jetpack, of course.
Yes, yeah. I've really been enjoying just kind of like flying around in that, because it gives you a pretty generous amount of air time.
It does,
the jetpack.
Oh, cool.
Which you'll be able to play around with that in the full game, which you don't start with that, and as soon as the next beta hits, which is going to be tomorrow, you're going to lose that jetpack until you find it again.
Oh.
So that was what's special about the first one, is that you kind of start with it and you can explore quite a lot with it, and we're going to take that away from you until you find it again. It will be out there to find that.
Okay.
Go ahead, Colin.
Oh, okay, I was just going to jump in and say, this game, just from the description that Lewis just gave, it sounds quite a lot similar to Mutant Muds.
I have
does
heard
it get
that.
Does it get compared to Mutant Muds quite a bit?
I'm not sure quite a bit, but it has come up more than a couple of times. Which is quite funny, really, because...
Was it inspiration, or...?
No, it's not, actually, because the majority of the actual stuff for Twisted Fusion comes from an iPhone game I made called Twisted Fates, which shares a lot of the same sprites and so on, and a lot of the same themes. And that game came out at least a couple of years before... anything Muds related.
So they nicked your idea.
Well, whatever they did, I couldn't say. But it definitely wasn't the other way around.
In terms of gameplay, it doesn't resemble Mutant Muds at all to me. I mean, it's a platformer. That's about the only way you can compare Mutant Muds and Twisted Fusion, at least the beta that I've played. Because in Mutant Muds, you're basically trying to get from point A to point B, just like in most, you know, action platformers like Mario and such. But it's like I kind of mentioned before, Twisted Fusion is an open world platformer, so basically you're just exploring.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really happy to hear that there will be, in the next beta build, I guess that's the term you'd use,
yeah.
Build. You won't start with the jetpack, because in the beta I've been playing, you start with the jetpack, so you can basically just explore to your heart's content. I am glad to hear that I will have another little goal to find when I play the next beta. So, also, I guess you've been pronouncing it beta?
I guess.
Wait.
Sorry if I'm confusing you with calling it beta.
It's one of those lingual things.
I can't. Yeah, it's one of those tricky ones. Yeah, I can't say I've really thought about it before, but I guess technically that's what I have been saying.
Yeah, beta, beta, it's the same thing.
I don't mind, though. I won't be offended.
It might just be like American versus British, so.
Quite possibly.
Yep, it probably is.
So for those who are listening, it's beta and beta are the same thing as we're talking about this, so. So yeah, I've been having a really fun time, actually. I kind of just get caught up in exploring a lot. There are some things, and these are, you know, tiny little things that just make it a little rough around the edges that I think Lewis will smooth out for the full version.
Hopefully so. That's what I would want if I was actually playing it, so.
Just a little bit of, it's weird to bring these things up. I probably just shouldn't, because I feel like they're things that you're probably going to fix by the end, and so.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not even so matter of things need to be fixed, just like things. I mean, it's not a complete product yet, and that's exactly why it isn't in a beta. And so there's things which just aren't done yet. Or there's things which are like placeholders, because you need something there so you can test all the other things in the game. So feel free to go ahead and, you know, let us know what you found.
Really?
Yeah,
everything that I found? I just got kind of stuck in a couple of places. I took little screenshots, which I will be sending to Lewis in an email as soon as I remember to do that. So, it's just, you know, things that I think will be fixed by the time the final product comes out. I do have a couple of questions. So, there are treasure chests. I'll start with treasure chests scattered about. Usually, they don't have anything in them, so I'm guessing that's the kind of a placeholder thing that you were talking about where...
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I'll walk past a treasure chest and it'll, you know, like, kind of like slowly open and then nothing happens. I'm like, no!
They're all empty. Yeah, there's no sound in there either yet. I need to have my own version of that. You need to have a nice chime when a treasure chest opens up. Springs open.
Yeah, right. That would be great. And something has to come out of it, too.
Of course.
I don't know, maybe I'm doing something
and
wrong.
And maybe what comes out of it will depend on where that difficulty slider was when you defeated nearby enemies or something to that effect.
Ah. there's something that will be included in the full version, the difficulty slider.
Yeah.
So you can change it at will, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, I can talk about it in a little more detail here. I mean, I'm trying to stick to that as close as possible, because that was definitely the initial idea. But what I've come to now is that when there are active enemies on the screen, the bar freezes. And so you can't change it during combat. But if you either escape or obviously destroy everything on your screen, it then enables again and you can switch on the fly on the touchscreen. So it is pretty flexible. I mean, you don't have to wait to... Well, you aren't stated in this, but you don't have to wait to a loading screen or anything like that, or you go back to one of the statues. Any point there is no enemies on screen, you can change the difficulty slider, so when you do destroy enemies, you can reap bigger rewards or, you know, not have as much of a struggle.
So that is kind of almost a risk versus reward system there, because you don't know what type of enemies you're going to be coming up on in the future, so it's like, quiet moment, should I like increase the difficulty a little bit, and should I increase it a whole lot and just hope I can get through the next battle?
Yeah, but I mean, you can always run away and change it back if you want to.
Yeah, I guess so. That makes sense. There's another thing. Sometimes I'll come across these big old brick buildings that have like a doorway. Those doors are going to be things that you can, or those buildings, I guess, are going to be things that you can get into.
Yes,
correct.
They're going to play a very important part in this game, and they're the towers, which are essentially the equivalent to dungeons in Zelda games.
Ah.
And so, what's inside them are kind of more traditional platforming type stages, and well, I mean, I won't say what happens when you get to the top, but I mean, it's going to be quite loose with its story in terms of. It's going to let you kind of figure things out and figure the world out and what you need to do to complete your goal. But the main story has something to do with getting to the top of these different towers in the game.
Okay, sounds good. I can't wait to... I don't think that tomorrow's beta is going to add a whole lot, but I'm excited for whatever it is, for the incremental increases.
Yeah, the next one's all around different enemies. And so hopefully there will be some things in there which should surprise you.
Okay, sweet. Ooh. I'm really looking forward to that. And by the way, I never did play it enough to find the five. I think there's a total of five sunstones.
There were two people who found all five.
Just two.
just two.
Congrats to you guys if you're listening.
Yeah, definitely, because they are in quite obscure places. So people like exploring 2D worlds, apparently.
Yeah. It was fun to explore. I had this sticky key prompt come up when I'd hit the shift key, which is the jump key.
Yeah, no, I did have a comment from someone else asking if I can change the default to something else.
Oh.
Which I will try and do. I've not done it yet, but I should be able to do that. Saying that, while you're here, what would be a better jump button for you while we're live on the show?
On the spot thinking.
Maybe have a different key be the the shoot button. Maybe turn control instead of having control as the shoot button, make that the jump button, and then I don't know what you'd make into the shoot button. Maybe the Z button.
Oh, okay.
Because Z is right next to shift,
that's
so.
True. Okay.
So, yeah, you can think about that. I've just been trying to figure out how to disable that darn pop-up. Why does that happen? I'll never understand. But I think we can move on. I'll probably be talking about this game more in the future. I'm really, really happy for you, Lewis, and you've done a great job so far.
Oh, great, thanks.
So.
And
congrats.
I think what I probably should also mention, and obviously this is a game coming out for the Wii U exclusively, but I've also now technically finished my first Wii U game. Although this was announced and I started this game first, Block Drop Cross Twisted Fusion is now complete and is with Nintendo for testing.
Yes.
So that technically takes the title for my first Wii U game.
I guess so. That game I'm super excited to play. I also got a chance to play a little bit of that game, and I'm so looking forward to the full version of that. There just was not enough in that little demo that I played.
Oh, have you checked out? There was a second demo recently.
Recently?
Yeah, and it has, I think, 8 stages in. So it's a much bigger demo, and they're all different stages to the first demo.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't want to... Well, I wouldn't mind going through the first... stages all over again, but it'd be nice to have new ones, so I'll have to look into that. Did you put it in your last Twisted Fusion Kickstarter update?
I'm pretty sure it was the last one. If it wasn't, it was the one before.
I feel like there was a lot in that
one.
It
was the last one, yes, because it also mentions about RC Madiak being at the... I can't remember what the event was.
Ohio Game Developers
that's
Conference.
That's the one, and he sent back from some footage of different people playing Block Drop Cross Twisted Fusion, which is pretty cool.
Yes. I meant to look at that. Oh, gosh, there's just not enough time.
But yeah.
I just need
apparently it was a hit there. There was a lot of people checking it out.
Oh, congratulations, man.
It was a lot of fun. So I think we'll move on now to our... I can't wait to talk about these games in the future. but I think for now we will move on to our listener comments and questions. We have a question from Jay Drury. He says, what game would you like Nintendo to bring back on the Wii U? I would love Castlevania or Pilot Wings.
Mm.
So...
Does Kid Icarus count?
Oh, yeah. I would say yes. He says, what would you like them to bring back on the Wii U?
Exactly, because he's not been technically gone for that long since his 3DS revival.
That's the thing, is that automatically kind of makes you think it has to be something older that hasn't been around for a while, but
Duck Hunt 2.
I think if you take it at its simplest meaning, you can bring back anything. Kid Icarus, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
I totally agree with you there. But the first game that came to my mind, and it's because my friend Anthony has been such an advocate for Star Tropics, and I actually played that game on the NES, of course. Never beat it, but maybe I will someday. But that's kind of the game that popped into my mind. Anthony, you're really influencing my thinking here.
Actually, I guess another obvious one is going to be the Mother / Earthbound series.
Yeah.
If they did a console release for that, that would be pretty awesome now. To be fair, it would be cool just to see Nintendo do a ARPG which wasn't Mario, because we know how good they are at making games in different genres. And they don't often do anything to do with RPGs, so it would be cool to see what they would do if they did, and you know, had the freedom of doing something with I don't know. I mean, with the new characters or kind of reinventing old characters.
Mm-hmm. And RPGs happen to be my favorite genre, so come on, Nintendo.
Yeah, the one genre is a little lacking at the moment, but I'm sure something will come through. Like, well, Xenoblade Chronicles we know of, but...
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so thrilled for that game.
Yeah. But, I mean, my thoughts about this was... because he mentions Castlevania, and I looked at it, and Castlevania is not a Nintendo property.
True.
Yeah, it's Konami.
That technically is true, but would Nintendo... I mean, we had that one Castlevania game on the 3DS, so should Nintendo, like, go out and try to get Konami to make a Castlevania game on the Wii U? That's kind of what I take it as.
You see, what I would say is, if we could have the team that made the old Castlevania games back, then yes, the current team who make the current Castlevania games, and not so much. I don't think they're nowhere near as high as quality as what the old Castlevania games were.
I'm not sure. I mean, you might know more details than I do on the matter, but I think it's mostly with, you know, just the direction. I can't say we know it's to do with the quality or not. It's just that they're very different types of Castlevania games of recent years. It's not the Metroidvania style, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think as soon as the Castlevania games went to 3D, I think they lost a little bit of their kind of what they were about, really. It's they sort of lost their way.
Yeah.
Like some games do when it goes 3D, you know. So many games have fallen to that trap. But I would love, you know, so if I could pick a team to come back and make a game for the Wii U,
okay.
I would want the Factor 5 that made Rogue Squadron to make another Rogue Squadron game. That would be incredible, because what they managed to squeeze out the GameCube, you know. I mean,
yeah, even on launch as well.
Exactly, and you know, so it's oh, that'd be so good. that'd be, because Star Wars games are something which lately they're either hit or, you know, hit or miss. I mean, I'm trying to think of a recent Star Wars game I've played, but I'm blanking on them.
Have they put the Star Wars characters in Disney Infinity yet? Or is that something?
No,
it was Marvel stuff. They'll save that for version 3 or version 4 or something big, won't they?
I imagine they will. Yeah.
But, I mean, see, that's where Disney's doing a lot of their, obviously, game-related stuff. They just will be feeding it into the big Infinity machine, as it were.
Yeah. So there's not going to be anything new. That's why I think, you know, they should just hand the license to a studio, actually, you know, like Factor 5.
Yeah.
Factor 5 don't exist anymore, sadly. Although they do exist as Touch Factor now. Which is,
that's true.
A shame.
Fish-based Tamagotchi games.
That's right. Which is a far cry from what they used to do. You know, so what happened to them? So
a series I would like to see come back, and has been a little while now, beyond the few odd references, is the F-Zero series.
Of course, that's another.
We've had hints here and there, and we're going to get a. It looks like we're going to get a track, and we're definitely getting a car in some Mario Kart 8 DLC coming up soon. But I would like to see a full game, because that isn't, you know, one of the few games, or one of the few universes Nintendo has made, which would look great in high definition.
It would, but I'm not sure what they could add to it. I mean...
Well, I think just like the amount of... Sorry, just with the amount of cars and the crazy designs, and keeping that 60 frames up, even on like split screen and so on. But yeah, I mean, you can add obviously the online features they've made in Mario Kart 8, put them in, and yeah, I think that's a pretty well-rounded package. I mean, they could, if they want to, you know, chuck more things in, you know, have a gamepad-based stage builder, and you can have things like that. But I would be happy with a very, you know, core offering with, give us a couple of cups. And some basic modes, but make it fast is the main thing. Yeah, make it fast, make it 60 frames, and let's play local multiplayer.
Yeah, you want to see some screen blur? See, that's quite good. I mean, also they could bring back, you know, Nintendo could bring back another thing. I Metroid really needs to be in HD. I've been wanting a Metroid game in HD for a while. But do you think it'll be like Prime 4, or do you think it'll be...
That's the tricky thing, to be fair.
Another Team Ninja, you know, type. we're gonna hand this to some random developer and see what they do. And then it's not going to work.
Well, it could be possible. That's what Retro Studios is doing currently.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope so.
Yeah. And also, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised recently when I heard Miyamoto's comments how he prefers the Prime series.
Yeah.
Unless I'm taking his words out of context here. But I think he said it was like a more exciting series, or there was more to do at least in the Prime type games. If he had to pick one or the other, he would like to do a new Prime one. And I thought, just because kind of his traditional roots, he would have preferred the 2D style of games. So that was quite cool, and be interesting if someone other than Retro, you know, attempted to do a Prime game and what would come out of that. But yeah, I think there's different directions they can go, because obviously people do like the 2D game still. It would be great to see one of them either on the 3DS or the Wii U, and all the Prime games either. I mean, that's what's good about it. It has branched up, but people both like both sides still.
That's right.
But yeah, I don't think it's gone for good by any means. I think it's just having a rest for a little while.
They do. They take a while for each. I mean, well, the thing is, like, Metroid, we don't know, because Metroid completely skipped N64.
That's true, but I mean, then when it came back, it came back with a bang, didn't it? Obviously, we had Prime and Fusion on the same day, and then shortly after, we had Zero Mission, and obviously the other Prime games, and we had Prime Hunters and Prime Pinball, and the other...
Yeah, Prime Hunters wasn't that good of a game. That was the hand killer, that was...
I actually kind of like Jay's idea here of Pilot Wings. I mean, we did get Pilot Wings.
Resort, on the 3DS.
Earth Resort.
The launch
for
launch
the 3DS,
title.
Which I thought it was a pretty good game, actually. And a Pilot Wings in HD would actually be pretty cool to me. But
yeah, and there's a lot more they could do with the motion still. Like, even with the Wii U gamepad, that seems like that would be a good demonstration of what you can do on the console.
Yeah. I would say that if he wants like a revival sort of from a series that's basically gone away, Breath of Fire. Did you play any of the Breath of Fire games?
No. Nope.
Or Super Nintendo?
I did. I can't remember which one it was, but I have played through one.
So, Capcom, you know, RPGs, and they were really good. They started on Nintendo, then shifted to PlayStation a few years later. But yeah, if they can convince Capcom to bring that series back.
Yeah.
That would be really cool to see in HD.
Well, what do we feel about Camelot's Golden Sun? Because I think even more so, that's kind of more ingrained with Nintendo.
That's more ingrained, but I think Nintendo's like more interested in using Camelot just to make sport games.
This is true.
Which is a shame.
I think it would be good if they if they were to do another one, to try it on a console, perhaps.
Because Golden Sun's been like exclusively handheld.
It has, yeah.
And the last one, the DS, was really good. I mean, it wasn't as strong as the first two, I don't think, but it was still a brilliant RPG. And, so Golden Sun 4, they announced that. I will be happy.
I never did get through the first Golden Sun. I have so many questions about the combat, or the just battle system with that game.
It's quite complex.
we can save that discussion for another time, because that could get pretty long-winded. Here's my final thoughts on the question, though. So, there's going to be a Fire Emblem crossed with Shin Megami Tensei game coming out to the Wii U. What I would like to see, because I never played a Shin Megami Tensei game, and I'm honestly not that interested in it. And so thinking about it crossed with Fire Emblem, I'm just like, whatever, even though I really loved Fire Emblem Awakening. I want to see just a pure Fire Emblem Awakening or Fire Emblem game on the Wii U. That'd be awesome, but not all that likely.
Well, yeah.
Would you like it to still be a strategy game or like a JRPG type game? I think Fire Emblem, I know it's like ingrained in the strategy genre, but if someone was to take it and then just try it out, I think it really would work as a JRPG.
You know what? But it could. I think you're right. Huh. So, yeah, just some of my final thoughts on that. Also, Nintendo, and this is not like a series or anything like that needs to be revived. But Nintendo just needs to put N64 games on the Virtual Console already.
Yes.
That's another thing that has to come back.
That really
does,
come
on, Nintendo.
Yeah, N64 Virtual Console games.
Yeah, sheesh.
Weren't there N64 on the Wii?
There is.
Exactly.
I think I own all of them apart from Cruising USA.
That's baffling. That is bizarre.
Nintendo, you're such a disappointment. Yeah. But at least I've got my N60, or you know, you've got Wii mode on your Wii U, so that's good at least.
And
but...
I do put it the good use every now and again.
Oh yeah, as soon as it snows where I live, I'm playing 1080 snowboarding, which is another, if there were just like an HD remake of the original 1080,
good point.
I'd love that.
Yeah. And same for Wave Race. So
obviously,
I'd love to see
Wave
a HD Wave Race game.
I'd like to see
the HD water physics.
Nintendo.
Pretty impressive, yeah.
Just bring us what we want already.
Which is everything. Get on it.
Which everything. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, what, they could renounce Wave Race and some people are going to complain about it. They're going to struggle to please everybody. So
yeah.
What can they do?
Oh, well. Okay, so our next question comes from Robert Strickland. He asks, is now the time to buy a Wii U? Do you think Nintendo can turn it around with Super Smash Bros. For Wii U?
I'll answer the first part of the question, which is yep.
Yes.
The second one's more involved.
Yes. So, can Nintendo turn it around, the Wii U, with Super Smash Bros.?
First, we need to kind of clarify what turn it around means.
Yeah, that's a good question there.
Because we've already answered the first part. We're all recommending it. We all think it's a good system, a fun system to play games on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Will it beat PS4, like will it sell more than PS4 or Xbox One throughout the length of the generation? I don't think it's gonna.
It's difficult.
So in that sense, I don't think it will turn it around. But I think Nintendo's gonna keep, you know, we know what next year's lineup looks like, and that looks fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Lots of great games on the horizon. So in that sense, they definitely are turning it around, because what a lot of people didn't like about the Wii U initially is that it didn't have the sort of games they wanted to play on. There was a lot of experimental stuff which they didn't think resonated with them, and they were just kind of missing kind of the Nintendo heavy hitters, which a lot of them have already come out, a lot of them are coming out next year, and apparently Zelda also is next year. There's a lot of great Nintendo games coming on.
Yeah, so Zelda next year, Zelda has never, I don't think, ever hit the day it's meant to come out. Oh, we had to delay it because, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah, okay, I'm dubious on that one, but they did reiterate it just a few days ago on their fiscal reports. Zelda is coming next year.
That's true.
But yeah, I've got so many great Wii U games. And also, if you do ever play your systems local, it is the best system for local multiplayer.
Oh, yeah. By far.
Yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's not just because the other consoles aren't great at it, and they're not. It's just Wii U is actually superb for local multiplayer. Probably one of the best consoles ever for that.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I mean, 8-player local simultaneous multiplayer with Super Smash Bros. I think that's got to be an industry first.
I think some...
Yeah. Except with, like, handhelds that will connect.
I think a Bomberman game might have done it before. But beyond that oddity, I can't confirm that.
Very good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So, yeah, the Wii U does have that going for it. The thing is, I mean, I don't think any of the three current-gen consoles are, like, the phenomenon that some of their predecessors have been. And I'm afraid that, like, video games, especially dedicated home consoles, I don't think they... I just feel like they're losing... I don't know. Everyone's losing. I mean, the Wii U is losing the current console race, but I feel like all the consoles are losing. I mean, none of them are selling nearly as well as the Wii. None of them are selling as well as the PS2. So I'm worried that all of them are going to kind of
underwhelmingly. For the other two, it's at least early days. And I guess the first impressions are good in terms of both PS4 selling a lot better than the PS3 was this time in its generation. And so is the Xbox. I mean, the Xbox One gets a lot of flack, but it's selling better than the 360 was back in its time. So they're actually both relatively doing quite well, which is better than I at least thought this generation was going to go down, because I was also on the same count that this is going to be when things start to really slow. I mean, everyone said it before, you know, everyone's got phones and tablets and their PCs and all the rest. I mean, what attraction does the console offer nowadays, and thankfully it still does.
Yeah.
So,
well, see, the only thing I was going to say is that the reason why this generation seems a little slower is because, I mean, we went from SD, well, us Nintendo fans did, we stayed in SD for another generation, but, you know, Sony and Microsoft went into HD gaming, and that was, like, amazing. It was the same jump as going from 2D to 3D. You know, it's that sort of, like, you have to see Mario running around the world, and he can move in circles, it's great. There's no, it's not such a huge leap, you know, from the previous generation to this generation. I mean,
yeah, again, with the exception of Nintendo now.
That's right, you know. But, I mean, that's the kind of bizarre thing was about the Wii U, and, you know, Nintendo can turn it around. I mean, yeah. it had an okay launch. It wasn't great, it wasn't bad, it was okay. But then it just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
It had no momentum, you know. And now, but now, if you look at, like, the schedule they've got coming up, it is, like, it's quite consistent now. And I think the Wii U is really starting to build that momentum back up. They're starting, you know, they've had some good releases. They've got more coming. Next year is going to be a fantastic year for Nintendo. Yeah.
I think what a good question will be then, in terms of can Nintendo turn it around? I mean, we just had the fiscal reports in for the last quarter, and there are a lot more Wii U, I think, like, double the amount of Wii U sold this time, this time of the year than there was this time last year. So do we think, fast-forwarding another year, are sales the same, up or down for the Wii U?
Up.
Because we're just coming into Smash now. I think we are at a very good time. And I think this holiday is going to be very good with the Amiibo and just hype around Smash, really. And people then looking at the back catalogue. So if, let's hypothetically say Zelda doesn't make it next year, would you still think it's up?
See, Zelda, I was putting Zelda next year where Smash is this year. And that was kind of what's going to keep it going. If Zelda gets delayed till 2016, no. They're going to lose momentum again, and they're going to have to rebuild it back up. Yeah,
I think that even if Zelda comes out this time next year, I still think that maybe the sales will be lower because, I don't know, Super Smash Bros., the appeal of that series is really wide. The appeal of Mario Kart is really wide.
Yeah,
and if both of those two combined in 1 year don't, like, really give a big ol' boost to the Wii U sales, I just don't think anything will. Even Zelda. Zelda's not very accessible, to be perfectly honest, and I don't think Skyward Sword sold all that well.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that it was on Wii, and there's, like, millions upon millions of Wiis out there.
That's true.
Yeah, despite its kind of fame, I mean, Zelda isn't among, like, the best-selling of the Nintendo franchises. There's a lot of, like, a series which you may not consider in necessarily the same ballpark, which beat it on terms of pure sales figures. Mm. But it's really just kind of their critical darling, as it were. I mean, it's always their attention.
Yeah. It's the attention grabber.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly, you know. I mean, it's like, when a Zelda game comes out, you take notice of it, because it is always a big deal. But, it's more of people who follow console gaming. It's not going to attract anyone who...
And people who like well-designed...
Absolutely.
Best-designed games, like, there are. The Zelda games are always so, so, so well-designed and so good in every respect, usually.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, those poor people who refuse to buy Nintendo consoles that are missing out on the Zelda series by itself. I feel bad for them.
Yeah, no, I actually think the sales will go up next year. I think they've got some very clever games lined up which focus around things like multiplayer, with Splatoon and
Splatoon. Yoshi. That's going to be a big one.
Exactly. Yoshi's Woolly World. Actually, I'm not sure if the Kirby game has multiplayer or not. I'm not sure it does, actually. Oh, no, cause it's...
I think most of these games have been underwhelming, though.
True. But I think they've got enough of them where it's almost like you've got a decent game almost every month from Nintendo.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
And also, let's not forget we're going to have Xenoblade Chronicles X thrown into the mix.
Yep.
If Nintendo sticks their word, maybe we do get that Zelda game at the end of the year. But I think there's a lot of good stuff, and there with the continued Amiibo support throughout the year, continuous DLC for the bigger games like Smash Bros. As well, and maybe even more Mario Kart 8 stuff.
I'm sure there will be.
I think they finally got into the right momentum and the right swing of things. And it's cool to see all this stuff coming out. But yeah, I've got my fingers crossed, and I reckon they're gonna finally do, you know, grab this momentum, and people will come in and start buying the older catalogue as well, which is quite common for Nintendo with their evergreen titles, like picking up Mario Kart or Mario 3D World.
I'm just like the Debbie Downer on this subject, because I still don't... I mean, the Wii U has had a great library for a long time, and, you know, was it last year we got Pikmin, The Wonderful 101? We've had so many great games so far, and it's not even Mario Kart was able to really, truly change the fortunes of the Wii U around. If Mario Kart can't do it, I don't know what will, unless Nintendo announces this big old massive... like Pokemon adventure game for the Wii U.
See, that
then all those Pokemon fans.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be the must own.
See, it's a problem because I've spoken to a lot of people about Mario Kart 8 who played Mario Kart in the past, and, you know, back then I was like, yeah, I don't like Mario Kart and all this. And, but they were saying how, because the game never changes, they just keep the double dash, or they'll just stick to, you know, they'll just stay to their
Mario Kart Wii is probably the most.
Yeah, Mario Kart. Exactly. Yeah, things like it's like why do I need to buy another Mario Kart game? Because it is fundamentally the same.
Sure. And I guess it's the only one now which has a working online.
True.
So it has that going.
But
for
you
it.
Know, yeah. But I think if they want Mario Kart to start selling huge numbers again, they really need to change up what, you know, Mario Kart is. But I don't think they ever will.
Well, Mario Kart being in HD, that should have been a draw, but Nintendo didn't really capitalize on that.
Oh, I don't know. I think it looks... Oh, maybe they didn't market it very well, but yeah. I think the game looks fantastic.
It does, absolutely. It's just that Nintendo didn't say you have to play this Mario Kart because it is completely gorgeous and in HD.
Yeah.
They just said, anti-gravity. Yay!
That's right, yeah.
So.
And now with boomerangs. I think I saw a TV advert around that.
Yeah, they focus some of their ads on just the new items. Yeah. I'm just like, okay, that's great. So this discussion has evolved from kind of our original question, which was technically, can Nintendo turn around the Wii U's fortunes with Super Smash Bros? I think just to reiterate, I don't think Super Smash Bros alone is going to do it. And I don't know. I just feel like no matter how many great games come out for the Wii U, people are just not going to buy it. You know, I think about people who are, you know, you must own a smartphone. You must own these certain devices. Home consoles just aren't like that anymore. And I think that's really sad. But that's why I think everyone's doomed. Just kidding. I'm not that kind of a Debbie Downer.
The game industry is gone.
I do my best to try and tell the people I know that Nintendo games are so much fun. They'll never stop being fun, so that's why you need a Wii U, people. So moving on to our final question for the episode. This question comes from the crew at the Game Gravy Rewind podcast. I really wanted to at some point put in a plug for these guys. They do a really, really great podcast. So if you want to listen to a podcast that is about Nintendo and other video games in general, check out the Game Gravy Rewind podcast, which I think you can find at just gamegravy.com. So the crew there would be Anthony, Michael, and Jeff. They basically wanted to ask this question that I asked them, which is, did you ever skip school or work to play a video game? Which game and or games?
So I have to ask, what made you push this question towards them?
Yes, it was a question that I asked them. They answered it in their podcast. It was very fun to listen to. But the question just came to mind because I had this nostalgic memory hit me one day of when I was... in elementary school, I loved this Super Nintendo game called X-Men Mutant Apocalypse. It was like a beat-em-up that was just, for a kid like me, I just loved that game for some reason. And I actually did, you know, pretend to be sick one day. I don't know if I was pretending. I must have been pretending to be sick. How else do you get out of school? Just so I could play that game. You know, kids do it, so that's why I was asking it. In fact, they kind of like shifted gears to talk about, like, have you ever skipped work for a game launch or to play a game? And I was like, I wanted to talk about school, but that's okay. Either way works. So you guys can jump in on this now if you want.
So I'm also curious now. Would bringing a portable into EVA count?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It does.
I've done that loads of times.
It only counts if you, like, try to hide it, like you sneakily
play. Under the desk, perhaps.
And you're not actually doing your work.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You're instead playing the game.
Well, if that does count, I mean, there was a lot of Pokemon.
Oh, of course.
Playing and trading and battling happening. Both the actual game and the trading cards were pretty big at the time as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was very time consuming.
For you, is this school or work?
That would have been school.
School, okay. I was like, doing okay.
Well, I guess they got online now.
Taking your handheld to work.
But, yeah, I think if I was to bring in my Game Boy Classic and Link cable into my current work, I would be very surprised if I found any anyone else to connect up to.
What is this? Yeah.
In fact, I would be suspicious if I did.
I think some people would raise an eyebrow towards you and think, what is he doing?
I haven't skipped work as such, but I have definitely booked time off in advance for, like, launch events. I remember for the Wii U itself, because it was system arming, it must just been, like, the right time for me. But I was so excited about the launch for the Wii U. And I booked a week off work after the launch itself. And that worked out very well, because I bought a Wii U and some games, and I had a very good week off of work afterwards.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, a lot of people weren't necessarily impressed by the Wii launch, but I had a crazy amount of fun, and my activity log will account for that time period.
So you probably played a lot of Nintendo Land with family and friends. I know that some people out there don't have a lot of people to play with locally, but I feel like Lewis and I...
Yeah.
We do,
yeah. And there was a lot of... I mean, because obviously it used the Wii remotes as well, and I already had 4 Wii remotes, so I didn't have to buy any extra controllers to start playing 5-player Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
Loads of fun in that, but also had fun on, like, Zombie U from Ubisoft. That was a good launch title.
So here's a tip for you guys. This actually relates to Nintendo Land. You can play Nintendo Land with 6 people.
Oh.
Not officially, but if you play the... I don't know who came up with this idea. We just did it at a party once.
I'm listening.
If you play what is that? Animal Crossing Sweet Day. If you play that, you can have you can have 2 people share the gamepad and control 1 guard each.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I didn't think of that myself. It was just the first time.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that would make it 6 players, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you can't have 2 separate Miis. Like, you just have to have 1 Mii. You know, associated with the gamepad,
but... Did you know you could play the single-player games kind of co-op?
How so? Give me an example.
Well, any of them. If you play the
Welcome
game...
Welcome to Infendo's Secret
Hour. Exactly, yeah. Not really answering the question at this point, but if you have a...
Did you know?
So, if you're playing the game on the gamepad, for example, or a Wii Remote on Player 1, you basically connect up a second Wii Remote, and there's always something that Wii Remote can do. On all the games, so like on the Donkey Kong Crash Course one.
That's the one that kept popping into my head for some reason. It's probably the single-player game I played the most, and I didn't even play it a lot.
The Wii Remote, you can point, obviously, at the course, and wherever you kind of press the A button, where you're pointing kind of creates this little force field around the pointer, and it's like slow motion in there. And so you can kind of like help out in these little pockets of the course, in theory. But like, I think a better example is like the Yoshi one, where you've got to, you know, you've got to draw the route to collect the different fruits, but you can only see certain bits on the gamepad screen. You can see other bits on the TV screen. And this is the one which helps out the most. And I think you can actually have a bunch of different Wii Remotes help out on this. But each Wii Remote connected can pick up a piece of fruit. So by pointing at it and clicking it, so it makes the game a lot easier. So they can help out that way. But yeah, each of the games has a secret co-op mode built in.
That's interesting. Yeah. Nintendo Land tips for you. So, Colin, I want to hear about you skipping work or school.
Me, I skipped school. I openly admit it. I'm not proud of it, but
Yeah, I only did it once, maybe twice. So, and you know, kids will do that. Kids will be kids, I
yeah,
say.
I did it 9, 10 times maybe. But I mean, it mostly in like it's secondary school, so I was like what 14, 15, and I knew my mom would kill me if she found out that I skipped school. So what I would do, this is quite sneaky, but I had a friend who lived down the road from me, and his parents would be out. They work during the day and don't come back till late afternoon, and so I asked her if I could stay at their place for a night. They said, "Yeah, fine, great." I was like, "Okay." So what I did was I went to school, I signed, and I went to the re I registered in, as you do, and then went back home. Well, I'm back to my friend's house, and I just stayed there and I played. Now, looking back, I'm thinking to myself, why did I play this game of all games? I could play something, an RPG. I sat down and played all day Mario Golf, Toast and Tool, on the GameCube. And looking back, I'm like, that's just a really silly choice. I could have played something
Yeah.
much more exciting.
At
But
that age, I would have been obsessed with RuneScape, probably. Just an online MMO.
yeah,
Obviously,
see.
it's online if it's an MMO, an
Well,
MMORPG. Pretty good. It had a lot of free content, so.
well, my friend had a copy of Phantasy Star Online, episode 1 and 2 for the GameCube, and it was right there. And yet, I played Mario Golf.
If you have all
So,
that time, play an
yeah.
RPG.
But did you
Exactly.
have the weird GameCube keyboard controller at your disposal?
No,
Wow, well, there you go.
no,
You didn't have the proper
well,
tools.
no, but you can still play the game,
Oh
but
yeah, of course
it'll take you like it'll take you it'll take you half a day to write something. That's the trouble. But
Oh, jeez.
it's yeah. So yeah, that's probably like the only thing I've done that's like I signed in, and then the teacher would say, "Oh, where's Colin?" And my friend, but oh yeah, he's in another class with a teacher, or he's seeing this teacher. And okay, I'll sign his name in for him. Oh yeah, great, fantastic. So yeah.
Was this a small town or a
No,
village? Is that what you guys call small towns?
it was a small town,
Okay.
little high school that I went to.
Little
But
easier to skip school in a small town, I think.
that's right. Yeah. Well,
Actually, it might be the opposite, huh? Never stopped to think about that.
depends the ratio of teachers to kids.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. Huh.
But all you need, if you want to skip school, you just need a good accomplice. That's all you need. Just someone to cover your back is sorted. Fine.
And a good game. Worth
Oh,
remembering.
yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend Mario Golf as the game to skip school for.
Not even the newer entry for the 3DS.
You just take a big ticket at school, would you?
Good point.
That's a good
That's
point.
what you do.
Oh, man.
So there you are, kids.
Schools nowadays are their street passing and coin collecting.
Colleges are for street
Oh,
passing,
that's
man. I
true,
went to a big college for a year, and wow. As long as I took my 3DS with me to class, I'd get street passes like crazy.
yeah.
So colleges are a great place for street passes, just so y'all know.
Do you know what's really weird? How times have changed. I mean, my sister goes to a secondary school at the moment, and it's like encouraged to bring your 3DS, but you're not allowed to play it in class. How
Just
weird is
so
that?
during
It's just
recess, which
what.
I don't know if you guys have recess, so
Yeah, well, we have like a playtime week or whatever.
playtime.
Do you reckon the
Okay.
teacher who wrote that letter and sent out and we recommend children bring their 3DSs in, do you reckon it was
He's like,
just a
I need.
ploy to get street passes?
It's highly possible. He's like,
For the teachers.
he's like, I got no friends. I need
Yeah, he could be
send out the kids.
filling out his street passes each day on that way.
I want to be a
Possibly.
teacher now and encourage my kids to bring 3DSs to class.
Bringing your 3DS, your friend's 3DS. So yeah, it's just bizarre because I mean, when I was a kid, if I got caught by a Game Boy, that's instant detention. They
Yeah.
take it away from you. But now it's like, oh, that's okay. Just don't play it. You're all right. Madness.
Yeah, things change, man, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me feel so old. Going looking back at my school days.
Yep. All right, so I guess that completes our sheet of notes here. I just like to look at the notes and kind of mentally check things off, so that completes our list of notes. And yep. With that, the show, if you guys want to contact us, send us questions on anything that you've heard today or on anything Nintendo related at all. We love to take your questions. You can leave a comment in the post if you're in your web browser, or you can always send us an email to contact@infendo.com. So with that, thank you so much for listening, and this has been Infendo Radio.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Change your mind. Catch you next time.
What?
I said see you later. It doesn't work.